Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Well, perhaps one of the city's busiest guys by the name of Jimmy Bagley is with us today. It took months and months and months of scheduling to get him to break free from what he has to do every day. Am I doing a good job for him?
So far, so good.
So far, so good. Yeah. He is the deputy city manager for the city of Rock Hill. And you told me that you have been with the city for how many years?
It'll be 36 in September.
Golly day. Yeah. Wow. How time passes so fast.
Hadn't been that long. I started 11 days before Hurricane Hugo, and I've been running ever since. So it's been busy.
You and Jim Gill. Jim Gill came up to the family insurance practice, I think he said 2 weeks before Hugo.
Yeah.
He said it made me wonder what I was getting into.
It's a game we don't want to play again, that's for sure.
So you are responsible for deputy city manager of what, a big potpourri of different things?
Mostly the operations side.
Operations.
We've kind of gotten the city split up into three different areas, I guess, but all the operations, which is utilities, public works, property maintenance, PRT,
oh my God,
IT, general services. So anybody that pretty much goes out in the field or serves internal customers, pretty much under my purview. But we all work together as a team. So David Vion, Stephen Gibson, and I, we all manage the rest of it too, police, fire.
So when anything goes wrong out there in the public arena, they're going to call you.
Pretty much, yes, sir.
We could tell a lot of stories about that, that's for sure. So one of the big things that you've been involved with for how many years, PMPA? Since day one?
No. PMPA, well, the city's been involved in PMPA since the early to mid-80s. We actually signed on to purchase power through a joint action agency. So we've certainly been in that business for the last, it'll be going on 50 years coming up in the next year.
So for people who have not been here a long period of time, which is a lot of those people, I mean, we're growing so quickly. PMPA, if I understand this right, came into existence because Duke was building this great big thing called Catawba Nuclear Power Plant right here on Lake Wylie, and they needed to get some more capital to do it.
Yeah, it's a long story. I mean, the city's been in the electrical business since 1904. So we've served the municipal sector as well as some businesses downtown since the early 1900s. So it's not a new business that we've been involved in. And we've had various generators and supplies through the last century. But what happened, if you remember in the 70s, there were the oil embargoes. The cost of energy was double-digit increases every year. Duke was talking about building six nuclear plants. They built the Oconee plant in Oconee County, and they were going to do five other ones. McGuire was next, and then Catawba, and then they had three more, the Perkins and Cherokee plants. I can't remember the name of the sixth one, but the last three just never happened. But basically, it was illegal back then to use natural gas to source energy. You could use it for home heating, but that was it. People were waiting in lines to get fuel during that time, and basically, it was just a crisis of getting enough energy for everybody. So Duke came to a lot of the municipalities and the co-ops and said, hey, we wholesale power to a lot of you, and we're just not going to be able to do it without your financial backing.
Right.
And if you remember, that was not too long after we had the Longmont Island. We had some issues with one of the nuclear plants. So the cost to build a plant just what they expected the cost of the plant to be versus what it was going to take to meet all the new scrutiny with security was just astronomical. So they came to us and said, we're not going to be able to provide the power without public support. And Duke really did the water carrying and went to all the legislators and said, hey, you've got to open up an avenue for the public sector to get involved to help finance some of these projects, or there's just not going to be enough power in the state. So that took some special legislation to be able to say that, you know, we could partner to do that. At the same time, Duke sold off their building downtown Charlotte, and they leased it back and rented it. A lot of their employees went to work for temp services because they said, we just can't make payroll. Duke was really having a hard time. It's not the Duke Energy you know today.
Wow.
But they were really struggling in the 70s and early 80s. So they came to us basically saying, there's just no way out if we don't get some help. So basically, there was some legislative action that allowed us to partner with a private investor-owned company, and the co-ops did the same thing. And this was for South Carolina and North Carolina. So basically, by the time they started building the Catawba nuclear plant, Duke ended up only owning 1/8 of it. They own 25% of the number one reactor. 75% of it went to the co-ops in the cities of North Carolina. The second reactor, which we, through PNPA, own 25% of, the co-ops pretty much took on the rest of that as well. So Duke only owned 25% of one reactor. Everything else was owned between the public sector, the co-ops, and the cities in South and North Carolina. That's changed a little bit over the years. Some people have sold their interest. Duke picked up a little bit more of it. But for the most part, it was 7/8, if you will, owned by public entities that supplied power to North and South Carolina.
So when this proposal was made to the city of Rock Hill and the other municipalities, the city was looking at skyrocketing power costs and trying to figure out a way, how do we stabilize this? Is that about right?
That's exactly right. We were seeing increases, and we've got letters from Duke saying, hey, we expect the increases to be 11 to 15% every year for the next 10 to 20 years.
Ooh-wee.
And that's just where we were.
Jeez.
So a way to stabilize that and try to get it back into single-digit increases was to make that investment and have ownership and be a part of that program.
So this is now back in the mid-1980s, or mid-70s?
Well, it started talking in the early 80s, 79, 80, okay. And the plant came online in 84.
All right. So somewhere in the 1980s, early, this opportunity was out there. So collectively, this opportunity for the members, were there 10 cities?
It was 10 cities in South Carolina, right. Yes.
That investment was roughly what, if you remember?
It was about $500 million.
Okay, $500 million. And each municipality took on a different chunk of it?
That's correct. There were a lot of studies that were performed that basically talked about projections. Many of those projections were correct. Many of those were off. We have some cities, for instance, Newberry, that really hasn't grown much in the last 50 years. So others did. Greer has grown way more than what everybody anticipated. So Greer's using far more than what they had originally signed up for. Rock Hill's using more than what we signed up for. And then we have Westminster, who still hasn't caught up to what they signed up for. Clinton, who didn't meet the mark. But again, that was 50 years ago. So it's kind of hard to guess who was growing at the time and who wasn't growing and where you would be in 2020. And if you remember back, the original life of the plant was supposed to be to 2023.
Oh, yeah.
So it was going to be commissioned in 2023. So we all made that investment knowing that the plant was not going to make it past 2023. Certainly we know it's still operating. Duke was able to get a re-license application in that gave them an additional 20 years, so it's now extended to 2043. And I'm sure they'll get an extension to go to 2063, just like they did the Oconee plant and McGuire as well.
Woo-wee. So in the case of the smaller members of the PMPA who are not using their allotment, do you guys wheel and deal with them to buy power from them or their share of that power?
Well, that's been a little bit of a contentious point over the years. Exactly how does that work? We've argued that we pay our Catawba costs and we should be able to go get any additional supply that we need from others anywhere in the state, not necessarily just those within PMPA. But there, as you can imagine, there's a lot of documentation that talks about our relationship with Duke Energy, talks about our relationship with others in the state and how we buy supplemental power. But most of us have given a notice to say we no longer want to buy our supplemental power exclusively from PNPA. That was a 10-year notice, and we gave it 7 years ago. So come January of 29, we no longer have to buy our supplemental power from PNPA. We can go get it off the market, and certainly that's what Rock Hill's been doing. We've been entertaining what those prices look from others all throughout the Southeast, really, in terms of who has generation and what it would cost to get it here.
So you mentioned that right now, because Rock Hill is ballooned as big as it has, that your allotment or your allocation that you're allowed to take is not enough to meet the need. Is that right?
So where
do you get the extra?
Well, currently we're getting it from PNPA, and that's through a contract we have with Santee Cooper. So we've been talking directly to companies like Santee, Duke themselves, as well as Florida Power and Light. There are plenty of companies out there that have – there's some independent power producers that have 15 to 20 megawatts that they build either gas generation in most cases. So we're reaching out to all those folks saying, hey, you know, what are your costs and can you get it to us and what does that look like? And, our plan is to make it cheaper than what we've been paying through PNPA.
So you are allowed to go out and buy some extra power now? Yes, no, or are you just doing it?
Right now we can't. Right now we're bound by our contract with PNPA through the end of 2028.
So you're buying, I guess I'm getting confused here. You're buying the excess power now from the PNPA members?
Right. So we get our Catawba allocation from PNPA, but we also get our excess energy from Catawba, from PNPA as well.
Okay. Yeah. So you're strictly in the PNPA family?
That's correct.
All right. But before, you're now looking at what's been happening population-wise and the projections, and you're saying this isn't going to work long term. We got to have another way of doing this.
Well, we think Rock Hill is large enough and sophisticated enough that we can probably bargain and negotiate on our own and probably get a better deal than we can collectively. And not knocking any of our other partners in PNPA, but a lot of them just have different profiles, different load growths, and it's just I think it's a lot easier for us to model what we're using, what our needs are. I mean, we're talking to folks who want to put in more generation themselves, whether it's solar. Some people are wanting to do batteries and a little bit of wind. We've got customers who want load data centers. They're saying, hey, we need more energy. What does that look like? How do you get that here? And PNPA has really constrained some of the things we've wanted to do in the past. We've just had to say no. Based on our contracts with PNPA, we weren't allowing customers to do some of the solar and some of the other options that they want because we have an all requirements rate with PNPA. We have to buy our power through PNPA. So anytime we've had a solar customer, it's a three-way agreement between us and PNPA for you to put solar panels on your house or on your business or whatever you want to get into. And we've been very bound by their template on what that looks like. So again, breaking out of that a little bit, I think we'll open it up where we have a lot more flexibility with our customers. We can look at time of use rates in a different way and really try to serve people's needs today that are different than they were 50 years ago.
So right now, with a half a billion dollar buy-in back in the early 80s, that's going to be retired roughly when?
In 2034.
And each one of the PNPA members has a different share of that half a billion dollars?
That's correct.
All right. So as far as Rock Hill, they're all going to be out by 2034?
Correct.
Everybody's going to be out.
Yep. Now, some have already said they want to renew and go back into PNPA because they want PNPA to manage all their brokering of power that they need. They've also asked PNPA to sell any excess that they have. So PNPA is still working with about seven of them, we think, going forward in terms of, they're looking for somebody that can just run the ship for them, at least on the power side.
So Duke is not going to run it after 20?
Duke will run the plant.
They'll run the plant. Okay.
But some people are looking for PNPA to be the broker, if you will.
Gotcha.
We're saying we don't want PNPA to be our broker. We want to be able to go broker ourselves because we think we can get a better deal for Rock Hill.
But you will still have access to the allotment that you are entitled to?
Absolutely.
You've got to have that.
Absolutely.
Got to have that base load.
Yes.
All right. Wow. It's pretty interesting. So the chains are off. The legal bonds are free in January of 2029, which is only, less than 4 years from now.
That's right.
It's going to take you that long to get through all this?
It takes a while. We've been working on it for about a year and a half now, so we've got a lot in play. We've got a lot of negotiations going on, and we're getting really close to kind of deciding what we think the best options are. And the opportunity to go out on the market. Obviously, all of the deals now are looking at ways that we can take advantage of the market and not be tied in a 50-year contract. And that's the key. And that's what I think our council is really interested in, is making a deal that we have flexibility to work with new opportunities. I mean, there are new modular commercial reactors that are out there. We're looking for some of those to be installed in the next few years, those 200 megawatts, 300 megawatt units. Duke has already announced they're going to replace a lot of their steam plants that were basically cold sourced. They're going to replace those with some of these type reactors. They're already, the site's already built for power production, so they're just changing out the type of production they're going to be. So as we see more and more of those enter the market, what those costs look like, I think you'll see probably still some more renewables where you partner solar with battery. But, you know, those aren't 24/7.
No.
Those are great for here and there, but they're not your source loads. So I think we need to make sure that we have the flexibility to get in and out of the market as we see fit. And again, I think we're trying to give our council options that will benefit all the constituents in Rock Hill. And right now we've been very limited into what we could offer in the past because of PPA. And we'll still get our Catawba allocation if the council wants to continue to use it as such. But we also have the opportunity to go other places. And I think that's going to be a game changer for us in terms of the way that we set our rates, the opportunities that we can give our customers to manage their own situations, as well as take advantage of new technologies as newer things come out on the market. Can we, you know, we hear talks about fission and fusion reactors. So, you know, if we get some of those out there, what does that look like, and is that a reality?
So at one time, Duke was talking about another nuclear plant on the Broad River. And that's kind of come and gone. But with these new technologies, you know, with the smaller reactors, do you think, is that a possibility, do you think?
Well, I definitely think they're looking at all those options, and I can't speak for them, but certainly I'm in a lot of meetings with them and others. I chair the Catawba Water Management Group, so certainly I hear anything going on from Lake James down to Watery, and that certainly helps because they have to get permits and what they want to do. So I think there are a lot of folks looking at, you know, how much water do you need? Because any of these plants use some water. So that's part of it. And we're a growing community, so we're all using that same water. So anytime somebody needs a new additional withdrawal out of the water, we're involved in looking at how's it going to be used and is it the best way. So obviously the power companies, all of them are looking at, is this the best resource? How much water is needed? Is there another technology that uses less? Because you got to have water as well to make the power.
And we all remember very well the drought here, whatever it was, 10 years ago or something, when Lake Wylie was literally shrunk by about 50%.
That's right. 2007 and 2008 drought of record was pretty rough for all of us.
Yeah. It was something. It was really something. Okay, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. When we come back, we're going to try to figure out more of this jigsaw puzzle called Electricity for the Future as we continue our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relaxure with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill, common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors, online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Okay, we do fresh subs and salads here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. How we do it is in the white letters. Let's tell everybody out there why they need to be in here at the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
The food is really good, and it's a great price.
The hot meatball subs with jalapenos.
A good deal for a delicious sandwich.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Have you been personally managing your investment account? Are you happy with your results? Maybe you should consider hiring a genuine money manager. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see how they can help you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or online at AndersonGriggs.com.
When it comes to matters of the heart, you want someone who understands you. And that's our mission at Piedmont's Heart and Vascular Center. We are the only cardiovascular hospital in York County providing comprehensive care from diagnosis to recovery. Our team includes experienced cardiologists, cardiovascular surgeons, and nurses, all dedicated to keeping your heart healthy. Cardiac care with advanced technology close to home. That's Piedmont Medical Center. Learn more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
I like the friendly service, and I like that the meat's fresh and the food tastes good. They slice the meat right there in front of you.
Man, it's just utterly delicious.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Very interesting conversation with Jimmy Bagley, Rock Hill's deputy city manager, who's responsible for a lot of things involving operations. And we're talking today about PMPA and the Catawba Nuclear Station and the future power needs of the city of Rock Hill. With all these operational things that you have to do all the time, do you ever get a day off or a week off? I mean, what does the phone ring all the time when you're at the beach?
It does. It rings all the time. and, you know, it's easier just to handle it than it is to send it somewhere else.
I got you.
I try to handle as much of it as I can. But yeah, we really are always on. It's always there.
It is.
You can't run from it. Yeah, it's the culture.
All right. So with this power situation, it's interesting that there seems to be some new life statewide in this VC summer failed nuclear power plant project. I think everybody knows the history of that. But more recently, right here from Rock Hill, you know, Rick Lee, who chairs the governor's nuclear advisory committee, decided one day to jump in his MG, or was it Austin Healey, whatever the heck it is, and drive down there, and he couldn't believe what good shape this thing was in, how well it's been mothballed and maintained. And so he took all that back to the governor, and now the governor, you know, with this new legislation has gone through, is basically saying, let's take a look at this thing, see how we can fire it up. But that's what you need, right?
Yeah. Well, I think everybody realized at the time VC Summit were setting down, I mean, there was a little bit of a downside to that in terms of the way it was being managed, and not to get into the politics of who should have caught what, when, and where. But the reality of it is we still need a lot more generation in the state. And nuclear really is a good fuel source. I mean, the cost of operating the plant is pretty consistent, pretty constant over time. You just have to have a lot of additional security at a nuclear plant because it's a nuclear plant as opposed to what a lot of the other plants have. But outside that, it runs by itself. I mean, it's just a great system. But the problem is with all the data centers coming in now that have great loads, everybody's wanting to do AI. Those are just huge consumptive. I mean, we've had people request, you know, 100 megawatts here, and they're doing that everywhere. And that's for the Googles and the others. And that's just where things are going these days. And they use a lot of energy. And that's that gets really tricky. One, the transmission systems are going to not be able to handle it. You need the generation to create it to start with, and then you got to get it to your in desired location. And that's what's driving it. So it's hard not to look at a plant that was half or three-fourths constructed. And I think they did a good job. Santee Cooper particularly said, hey, we need to mothball this in a way that we can restore it. Because I think everybody knew at one point you're going to have to dig it back up and look at what it's going to cost to put it back in operation, because there's just not a lot going on. And depending on the administration that's in play at the time, you know, everybody's talked about the fossil fuels eventually needing to be phased out. Well, what else do you have?
Yeah,
we certainly can't count on the solar and the wind
24/7.
So you're really stuck with natural gas, and there's arguments about how much of that is and will it last forever. But then it's still not as clean as nuclear. I mean, nuclear is the only thing that's absolutely carbon free.
And if you talk with somebody like State Representative Randy Ligon, he will tell you for every one of those solar farms, you're chewing up farmland that can't be used to feed us, right?
Well, you're chewing up farmland, and it sounds like a really clean energy, and I'm not bashing on solar and renewables, but, you know, that's hazardous material. This hailstorm tore up, I don't know how many solar panels that have to go to a hazardous landfill. Same thing with the batteries. You've got to do something with those at the end of life. So although they're a great technology to have, they come with their own strings attached, and a lot of times we don't think about that.
So how pressing is the need for Rock Hill? For instance, we're sitting here right now, and as you say, we're using up everything we've got from PMPA, but you're looking at the projections for what the population is going to be. We're doing all this stuff from economic development. I mean, what would you do right now if a data center said, yeah, we just love Rock Hill, we'd like to put the big old data center right here? What would you do?
Well, we would certainly do everything to make it happen.
But could you make it happen?
Yeah, we can certainly make it happen.
You think it could?
Yeah,
okay.
There's opportunities there. Now, the costs are what what we'd have to talk about. But, you know, everything's solvable with a little bit of money. Sometimes a lot of money. So in this case, yeah, there's power there. It's just a matter of getting it here.
So we're okay right now.
We're okay
but
right
we
now.
Can't go to sleep on this.
Exactly. I mean, we need more. That's why, you know, if BC Summoner started turning tomorrow, it's going to take 2 decades to bring it online. I mean, that's just the world we live in, and that's the problem with the regulations with a lot of those projects right now. There's certainly other ones that would have to come on and supplement that until you could make that happen.
So you're talking now with Lord knows how many different vendors. Do you see a scenario where the city of Rock Hill might do another PMPA type of approach at another facility where you might own a piece of it?
I think that's possible. I mean, we're looking at a lot of options, and whether those are actual ownership or just entitlement to output, people are doing more of that where you just secure the output as opposed to being a true owner, locking that up with long-term agreements. So we're looking at a couple of those type of options and looking at those calls. I think the biggest thing for us is, you know, you want to cover your base load, but it's just like hiring contractors. You want to use your own employees for your guaranteed everyday work. You want to hire the contractors to do the work that's seasonal, you know, up and downs, because you don't want to staff up for that. And the power's the same way. We don't want to go buy more than what we need. And I think the market's changing. We're going to see right now there's a crunch. Everybody needs more. The data centers are using a lot of it. There are a lot of people that are building plants as we speak right now that are going to be online in 2 to 3 years, mostly with gas. I think the market's going to be flooded with it. So I think you're going to see cheaper generation come 2030, just because all these people got into the market because they said, hey, everybody's needing it right now, let's go build something. But it's going to be overbuilt, and that's just cyclical. We've seen that in just about every industry, including the power industry. So you're going to see a lot of generation being built, and I think we need to buy a little bit now, and I think we need to watch it and probably buy a little bit more later when it drops a little bit more.
So right now, as far as the Rock Hill City Council, this is the kind of discussion you're having with them like we're having here today?
Correct.
And I have to think, I mean, this is so complex. How do a bunch of well-intentioned citizens who serve on the city council absorb all this? I mean, they're not Clemson engineers like you are.
No, but they've certainly heard me talk about it enough already. And we've got a great council. And I would say our council is very informed, probably more so than many councils that I hear from throughout the state. They're involved with the public. They know the constituency. They know what's going on, what the needs of the people are. And they also know what it takes to manage a good city. And I think you'll hear our mayor talk about, you know, what a good city, a great city Rock Hill is. And I think that's just the mindset they have. They all want to be involved. They don't micromanage, but they want to be involved to make good decisions. So it's my job to take all these options to them. It's their job to figure out which way they want to go for the future. I certainly don't hold a crystal ball, but I can certainly tell them what all their options are. And I try to give them as much flexibility to have those options in the future, more so than what we've had in the past.
Of course, this will be a big decision whenever it's made. And it may not just be one great big decision. It may be we could do this right now, and 2 years from now, let's take this on or whatever.
That's exactly right.
The technologies just keep changing. It's fascinating. Absolutely fascinating.
Interesting times.
Interesting time. Well, there we go. Just rolled up in one great big ball, and now everybody understands what's going on with PMPA. Are you seeing a lot of resistance at all from the organization to what you're trying to do?
No, I think everybody recognizes where we are. Everybody has their entitlement, and, you know, we'll see where that goes. So, you know, we're taking a little different approach than what some of the rest of them are doing. A lot of these are smaller cities that have just a couple hundred customers to a couple thousand.
Yeah.
We're not there. So,
Jimmy Bagley, thank you for all that you do for the city of Rock Hill, and thanks for being with us here today. We'll try to book you 6 months from now, because that's about as soon as we can get you into our schedule.
Sounds good. Glad to do it.
And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Can you imagine having him on your council trying to explain this? No, it never would happen. Okay, fresh subs and salads 6 days a week here at Substation 2. How the heck do we do it? In the white letters at the count of three, are you ready? 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Not bad. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.